This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
How y'all doing today? Sun's shining, snow's falling, right? This week is what I heard. 50% chance of snow? Are you kidding? Randy, you blew it last week. You pulled the trigger too soon. Yeah, so much for Groundhog Day, right? I'm going to have groundhog for lunch today is what we're going to do. I want you to grab your note sheet and your worship guide today. It looks like this. You'll also want to turn to Acts chapter 2. We are in the final week of the basic series. We did it. Man, starting in the first Sunday of January, we've plugged through. There have been seven parts to this basic series. It's been an awesome journey. And I'm excited about today. You're going to love today's piece. We're going to end up with communion this morning, so prepare your hearts for that. We've been going through the basics of the Christian faith. What does it mean? What are the essentials we must have to move forward? There have been seven parts. You've gone through the first six. Are you ready? Let's see if you can name them. What was basic number one?
Fear God.
Fear God. Very good. What was the second one? Follow Jesus. Who said that? Over here, I heard it from somebody. Congratulations, you did it. How about third one? I have notes, so I cheat, right? Holy Spirit, fear God, follow Jesus, Holy Spirit. What was four? Fellowship, very good. Number five? That's when we had Hosjack here. We talked about it that day. Teaching, very good. Who said that? You, young lady, you get the prize today. And then last week, what was the focus last week?
Prayer,
right? We talked about the Lord's Prayer. Today, interesting topic. The seventh component is communion. Really, I know this is the conclusion of our story, but it's really the beginning of the story. It's the introduction. Once we find Jesus, we think that's it, right? We've found our happy place. We get in this group of fellowship, and we enjoy each other, and we like each other's company. We hang out together. We've got our get-out-of-hell-free card, right? When we said yes to Jesus, we know where we're heading for eternity, and we gather our friends, and we just chill on the beach, right? And we wait for the boat that's going to come and take us straight to the pearly gates. That's what Christianity looks like, isn't it? Is that the real picture, though, of what this journey of faith is about? I hope not. I hope not. I hope there's a lot more to it than just that. We were meant for so much more. And here's the thing. The longer we stay on the beach, hanging out, the more content we become, the more, can I say, lazy, the more lethargic. We forget the original commission that Jesus gave us, which was what? What did Jesus say before he left? Go and what? Make disciples. It's exactly what he said. So it doesn't look like laying on the beach with a bunch of other convinced people, does it? See, that's the problem. We forget what it was like in the desert, don't we? When we've been on the beach for so long, then that's all we know. It's just life on the beach, man. It's awesome. Margaritaville, baby. Come on. It's exactly right. It's like it's cool. We hang out, you know? It's awesome. But we forget what it was like in the desert. And we forget that there are people still hanging out there that are still trapped, that need to be rescued. And here's the real danger of hanging out on the beach too long. Is we start, because we're so used to the beach and we've forgotten where we've come from, we spend our time coming up with new rules and ways to do beach life, okay? Here's how you do beach life really good. And we create these paradigms, and we create these ways of doing things, and we have lists of rules. Okay, here's what you do on the beach. Here's what you don't do. And we get so good at learning beach rules, right? And we write volumes, and we study the beach life, and then we criticize other people who don't do beach life like we do. If they really were beach people, they would be like this. And we get really good at studying beach life, and we get real good at criticizing those who don't meet our standards of beach life. Are you getting where I'm going here? Sounds an awful lot like the church to me. Well, here's the real way you worship. Or here's the real way you don't. See, I mean, I just see culture today, Christian culture, it's all about just, I don't want to use certain buzzwords that will send you somewhere. I just say, we're preoccupied with how other people do beach life. You know, and we get critical of this group doing it this way, and why don't they do it like us? Or we're the best, we're the example. We take the liberty to be critical of our brother or sister who do it different than we do. We become experts on beach life. We could write the book, baby. And we spend all our time just nitpicking, you know? We get so caught up in beach life, and we forget the people trapped in the desert. We become so expert at what it's like here. I'm just telling you, this is good where we're at. I love where Jesus has brought us to. I love it. But if we get content, if we get too inwardly focused here, we can really miss the purpose. Francis mentioned his disillusionment with the organized church, and I can understand and appreciate that. You know, I was thinking this morning coming here today, I have been a Christian for over 40 years now. I know many of you haven't been alive that long. I understand that. And the problem with that is sometimes I can become an expert at beach life or church life, you know. And I forget. And I've been in it so long, I really wouldn't know how to go back and live the other way. But the problem with those of us who've been on the beach too long, you know, we get pruney, don't we? We do. It's like being in the bathtub too long. You get pruney. Beach life makes you pruney. We get so good at analyzing the beach life, the church culture, that we forget our original purpose. And I'm sure many of you have your own horror stories of life with pruney people. May we never be pruney people, or we are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. But I'm telling you, we can get so caught up in the rules and regulations and the culture that we forget the purpose, and we become pruney, and we are no good to the world. Jesus said he would build his church, right? And the gates of hell, dang, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty hardcore. Anybody ever been to the gates of hell? Feel like it. He said nothing would stop, not even the gates of hell, the church he is building. So you know what? He will build his church. And as Francis said, we get to choose whether we're going to be a part of it. The church, you've got to know this, the church is God's plan A, okay? And there ain't no plan B. We like to think there is. We like to come up with creative alternatives. See, so you could take what Francis just said and what I said and say, see, I told you, there is no purpose in the church. I knew it was a bunch of phonies, hypocrites. Pruney people. Listen, I'm not being critical of the church. The church is Jesus' bride. It's his plan A. There is no other plan. Jesus said, I will build my church. You better be a part of it. That's Tim's addition. You need to be a part of this thing. The church is important. We must not give up on the church. God hasn't given up on the church, so I won't either. Because it's his choice. It's his plan. We can determine to be the church Jesus died for, though. That's our decision. He didn't die so we could be pruney or so we could freak people out. He died so people could be set free, could be rescued, released. But when we get caught up in our church culture, it's counterintuitive. It's the opposite. Religion is about the rules and regulations. Church alive and active is about learning and loving and leading. It seems like someone said that not too long ago. But that is our focus as a church. Learning more about him, loving the people he sends our way, learning to love God, and then leading people in that pathway. That has nothing to do with pruney rules and regulations. It has everything to do with life. Jesus said, I came that you would have life and life to the full. Heaven help us if we settle for religion. I'm not being hypercritical of other churches today. I'm just telling you, we have to decide what we're going to be about and what we're going to be for. And if I could be honest with you, 40 years of following Jesus, only 8 of those leading a church, okay? The rest of my time, I was you, sitting in the seats listening to this guy. And if doing church the way that I'm describing, living, loving, leading, if that were easy, everybody would be doing it. Truth is, it's kind of rare to find a church like that. I think 2 reasons for that. Number one is we have an enemy who knows how the potential of this thing called the Church of the Living God and how amazingly effective it can be when it does what it's called to do. And he's set against it, so he's going to stir up trouble. He's the one that was raising fisticuffs across the aisle in that business meeting. Doesn't mean business meetings themselves are evil. It just means, okay, let's think about what we're doing here. I mean, horror stories. I mean, because I spent about 10 years counseling pastors and walking with them through difficult church splits and things, oh my gosh, you want to hear stories. I could peel the paint off these walls if they had any. You know, could just tell you, it's ugly because our enemy is ruthless and he knows what he's doing. He does. He's been doing it a long time. And he uses internal conflict and division to keep the church neutered, impotent, ineffective. The other reason, though, the enemy is one reason why the church isn't doing what we're called to do. The other reason is because we forget. We just forget what our original mission was. We get so focused on beach life, you know, buying the new beach umbrella so we can be the cool spot on the beach, right? I mean, I don't want to be the church known as the coolest or the hippest or the new thing or whatever. It's like, it gets old real quick. People sometimes make a career out of that. Traveling from church to church to pick and choose like a buffet line, right? I like this, but I don't like that. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but it's a package deal, honey. You get it all. You don't get to pick and choose. We forget what it was like to be lost, to be trapped, to be without hope, to be encased in this box you can't get out of, to be underwater and not be able to breathe, to be confused, to be offered all these choices and not know which way to turn. So you just try them all. It ends to destruction. We become more focused on rules and regulations than we do the reason Jesus established the church in the first place. And what was that reason? Shall we go back to the book and just read? This was the original reason, John 3:16, right? From New Living Translation, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And that, my friends, is the point. Every other culture, tradition, way we do it, is secondary to that primary reason, so that the world will be saved. Not to come to judge the world, but to free the world from this desert, lifeless, one-dimensional existence. Jesus died for more than that. And we forget, we get busy about doing church stuff. And we get focused on church culture and the specific way of doing things. And we forget the reason, the purpose that it was all established in the first place. And Jesus knew that. That's why he instituted this thing called the Lord's Supper. Because he said, do this. When you do this in what? Remember. Isn't that crazy? It's like, he's pretty smart, that God, you know? He's pretty sharp. He knew we would forget and... sure enough, the early church forgot. They started out well. Let's read it together in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is the primary verse I want to burn into your brain today. I'm going to read it together. It's up on the screen. Let's read it out loud. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer, I believe is what it says in the next screen. Am I correct, Joel? Survey said. That's it. That's all you got. Well, and to prayer would be the next. Yeah. So let's read it again. And we're going to add the extra part. And I didn't add it, by the way, because you know what happens if you add the scripture. So let's read it again. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Pretty simple formula. Pretty simple. Not that tough. But not too many years after this, after the church had been established and birthed in this glorious way, guess what? Paul has to rebuke the church in Corinth. They were coming together, they were eating their meals together and remembering the Lord's Supper, but they were getting drunk in the process. They were forgetting everybody else and rushing to the table and pigging out, basically, right? See, and that's so foreign to our way of thinking, because that's not how we do the Lord's Supper, but that's how the early church did it. And they forget the other folks, and they rush to the table, and they just are consumed with, what can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Okay, I'm sorry, but that sounds an awful lot like the church today. We're drunk on selfish desire. What's good for me? We're intoxicated with the things that we was like, ooh, you know, I come to church and get my holy ghosty feely goodies, right? And if we don't have that, I tell you, oh man, I could preach right now. Jesus, I hope no one in this room said this because I'm going to offend somebody right now if they did. People have come to me after a message and said, man, Pastor, that's some good preaching. You preach like that every Sunday and I'm coming back. What? What's that say about the other Sundays? I don't know. It's like, sorry, I guess I just missed it those days. I don't know. Like, really, my concern, my primary concern is that you really like what I just said. Oh, good. Boy, that really helps me out. Here's the trick pony. You know, what can I do to make you happy this week? Raise the hoop a little higher, baby. Come on, you know? You can't live like that. I'm not that good. You know, it's like this week we have the flaming hoop. Next week we have the dagger hoop, right? It's like you got to continue to amp it up to entertain the folks. It's like, come on. That's called the circus. Unfortunately, that's what some churches are like. The circus. And we forget the purpose. Man, I'm preaching now, aren't I? Church gone off track. They were coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, but they forgot the purpose. And Paul had to rebuke him, had to set him straight. Contrary to what we were taught to do, considering others more important than ourselves, serving one another in the fear of the Lord, preferring one another. Man, a lot of church culture flies in the faces of verses like that. And Jesus said, remember why we restored you in the first place. Remember why I established the church. That gates of hell thing, remember that? Do this to remember that. That's basically what communion is saying. Do this to remember that. I've always thought communion is like, I'm remembering the cross. I'm remembering Jesus died for me. And that's all good. Do that. But there's something here I've never seen before. See, at Restoration, we're not a perfect church. And we never will be. If you came here looking for the perfect church, keep looking, baby. And you know, I was going to say, tell me when you find it, but I don't really want to know. Because I know there ain't no such thing. There's always going to be stuff. As long as there's people involved, there's going to be stuff. All God's children got stuff, okay? That's how it works. But I would say this, and I think I can say this with integrity. We are a church that sincerely desires to remember why we're here and to stay focused on that purpose and that everything that we do points toward that so that people would know Jesus and have a relationship with him who died for them. That's the big purpose. Everything else is secondary. We're going to be faithful to that reason. And I, you know, here's the thing. We're not perfect, and we're just getting started, and I'm apologetic a lot of the times for the things that we don't have. But by the same token, sometimes it's good to reflect and to celebrate the good things that are going on, too. I tell you, I celebrate the fact that today, there's kids' church going on upstairs in first service. That's worth celebrating. And I'll tell you, I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm just saying people have left our church because we didn't offer kids service the first service. Because they just wanted to come to first service. Well, now we do. So that's good. That's a growth point. But it wouldn't be happening if your worship team wasn't upstairs. They led you in worship. Now they're leading kids' church. See, they're remembering what the most important thing is. Now, we're organizing a team around them so that they don't have to do that, because that's going to wear them out real quick. But I'm grateful that they remember the first thing. And even though we're only 2 years old and we don't do it perfect and we're still in process, there's still some good things going on around here. And I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, the work that we're doing is bearing fruit. In fact, there's some of you here that could say, yeah, I mean, here's what God has done in my life through restoration. Anybody could say that? Just raise your hand and let me know. Has God done something in you through restoration? That's good. How about the Joneses over here? You guys want to share real quick what that work is? I want you to meet Brad and Charity. Two awesome people. Baby on board. And you can stay right where you're at if you want to, but just tell folks a little bit about what God's done with you at restoration.
Not to get too long-winded, but for us, it's, I think, made our marriage stronger. When we got married, Brad, for probably a year and a half, said, I think we need to start going to church. And it was something I kind of resisted, mostly due to experiences I had growing up. So it wasn't, my family left our church when I was about 12. We were in a very, I would call it a religion. And so I didn't really learn a lot about faith. I didn't have a very strong relationship with Jesus. So for us to start coming to church was a big leap for me. And I can tell you it's the best thing I ever did. So it's brought us a lot closer, and in the past year we've tried to start a family. We've had some difficulties with that. And I would say that if I didn't have that relationship that I have now with God and Jesus and what it's done for our marriage, I don't think I would have made it through that. So.
That's the sum of it. I mean, where we are today, I mean, we don't live in town, so we drive a little bit to get here every day. So it's... And to get to early service, which we try to come to, I mean, we've got to get up.
He's
got to
kick me out of bed.
And this is the cornerstone of our week, to get us started and to end our week too. Yes. And it's, you know, seeing everyone and the relationships we've made through the church, with the church, and to the people of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here.
And that's something I never had before. So that's awesome. I love coming to church every week and seeing everybody, and I appreciate all the fellowship and the family that I have here. So
that's good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. That's just, you know, one of the stories. Anybody else? Nancy, you want to share for a second? This is Nancy Miller. She and her tall drink of water husband. Who isn't this guy? This is her son, by the way.
Which Mark is in Colorado skiing right now.
So poor baby.
I know.
Poor baby.
He would have wanted to talk if he was here. Restoration has just basically changed my life as far as we grew up. Mark and I both grew up in small churches here in St. Joe. And then when we got married, we continued to go to his church. And then once we had a family, we went to that church and the kids grew up there, but we kind of got to a point where we just needed some more, and so we kind of tried the big mega church, and it just wasn't us, and so we hadn't gone to church for a while. And then at the time, Sarah Mollis was, we were teaching together at Ellison, and Sarah said, hey, our church is starting a new thing down at Holiday, and you should come. So Mark and I came that first Sunday at down at Holiday Inn, and we've been coming ever since. And I think it was during Sanctuary, I don't remember when, but Tim O'Brien said something about, he was looking around and he said, where would some of these people be now without restoration? And I was like, I don't know where I would have been. And so that night I even texted Sarah and I said, thank you so much for inviting me to come to church. But I just feel like I've made some really good friends, new friends. It has strengthened my faith. It's strengthened our marriage. I know that before Blake and Michaela got married, they came to the Wednesday night marriage thing, and I have seen a tremendous change in the way their marriage and what it's done for them. But I just feel like, you know, it's just been such a faith strengthening thing for me and my relationship with Christ.
Sure. So. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that. You know, as we were preparing for this service today, I just felt like that would kind of be the cornerstone of what I want to say is what's happening here at Restoration is just a great example of the fact that when a church determines to do what it's been called to do, then God can do what he does.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.